This morning we're talking about a new commandment. And what that really means for us in a very practical sense as Christians is what we're talking about is love. Love. I want to do a little music trivia to start you off this morning. Let's see if we can fill in the blanks. The Beatles had a hit song back in the 60s. You tell me what it is. All you need is
love.
The Bee Gees had a hit song in the 70s. They sang, "How Deep Is Your
Love?"
Percy Sledge had a really cool, soulful tune. He sang, "When a Man
Loves
a Woman." And if you were with us a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night, you even heard a message entitled with this particular song title from the 80s by Tina Turner. She sang, "What's love got to do with it?" Absolutely. That's it, Mr. Stan. You want to break out and sing us a couple of bars? No? Love. Love is something that we hear sung about in pop hits, and it's something that the poets and the philosophers have written deeply about all through the times. And it's important for us, I think, as Christians to make sure that we're understanding what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about love, because it may be a little bit different than the popular vernacular of love that we often hear sung about in our favorite pop tunes and such. For instance, one of the things we know about language is that the Greeks actually had three different words for love. And you say, well, that's odd. How would you have three words for love? Well, I don't know. The Eskimos have like 60-some-odd words for snow. So apparently there are little bitty different variations in their culture that make a very big difference in their understanding. And for the Greeks, it was the same way. And so since we're receiving New Testament biblical text that was originally written in the Greek, it's important for us to understand the differentiations of what it is that's actually being translated into our English language. So we have a crash of the computer, Brennan? No slide for that. So we'll just go off script. I'll tell you about those three kinds of love. I hope I remember them. The Greeks talked about eros, which for most of us is kind of what we think about probably when we think about those love songs that we hear on the radio. Eros, it wouldn't surprise us to know that in our own language, the word erotic actually comes from the Greek for eros. That's that kind of teenage child love that when we go out looking for a mate and we begin to date, we feel eros in our heart. It's that love that makes our knees weak and such, right? And then you find that person and you go on and you marry them and you stay married for 50, 60 or how many years, right? And if your knees are weak by that point, it probably has more to do with the aging that you've been going through than that feeling of new love, right? Because that's just a feeling. And I think that's one of the things that's important for us to recognize as we're studying this scripture this morning. Jesus isn't necessarily talking about a feeling kind of love. He's talking about a being and doing kind of love. But the second love that the Greeks talked about was something called philios, or philia love. And if you think about the meaning of that, it's sort of like a brotherly type love. And that should be easy for us to remember if we think about Philadelphia. What is Philadelphia's nickname? City of brotherly love, right. And so in the root of Philadelphia, we have philia, right? That type of love. But then there's the third type of love, and this is sort of the greatest of love. This is the godly love. This is the love Jesus is speaking of in our scripture today. It's agape. Agape. It's basically love for no other reason than the sake of being. It's the kind of love that drives us not by feeling, but it drives us in doing in a way that God has sort of imprinted in our DNA that we are to be and the way we are to do. It's agape love that if you've ever come across a bird in the wild and you understand that she begins to start swooping down at you, she's protecting her young ones. Why? Because she's got it imprinted in her DNA that she loves her offspring, and that's exactly what she's programmed to do, to show her love by defending them even to death. That's the kind of love that even humans would have imprinted on them as they, you know, grow up and have their own children. It's a very high sort of love. It's the love that would lay down its own life so that other life could be preserved. That's the kind of biblical love, scriptural love, that we hear today in the scriptures from Jesus. And I wish we had our slides. I would show you the Greek, but you get out of a Greek lesson this morning. So we'll just move forward. John 13, 34 tells us, Jesus has this, gives us this quote, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." That's the kind of love our Lord has commanded of us. It's a love, again, that's not about a feeling of love like we hear about in those pop songs where we get weak-kneed and we swoon and we go, "Ah, that's the person I'm in love with." It's not that kind of love. And it's even beyond that sort of friendly, brotherly love that we feel for one another. It's a love for the sake of love's sake. It's love for no other reason. It's agape. And in conclusion, it reminds me of this little illustration that I found during the week. It's the story of a young boy who is about to set out because what he wanted to do more than anything was to meet God. And so he sets out one day. He didn't quite know where God lived, but he figured it would probably be kind of far away. So what he did was he decided he'd pack a bag. And in his bag, he packed all the essentials. He packed some peanut butter chocolate chip cookies and some diet ginger ale. His name could have been Little Randy, perhaps, because that's some of Little Randy's favorite snacks. So he packed up his bag and he set out to find God. Again, not quite knowing where God lived, he went out searching. And after a few blocks, what he came upon was a sweet little old lady who was sitting on a park bench, staring ahead at some pigeons who were in the field. And so he decided he had walked far enough and he sat down next to her and he put his suitcase up on the bench. And she continued looking at the birds, and he decided it must be time for a snack, so he opened up his suitcase, and he pulled out some of those peanut butter chocolate chip cookies and a nice cold diet ginger ale, and he took a look over at the lady who was sitting on the bench next to him. And he decided that she must be hungry as well. So he decided he was going to share what was in his suitcase with this little old lady. And he did. He offered her a cold drink and he offered her a cookie, and she accepted it. And when she did, she smiled back at him. And this little boy experienced a smile from another human being that was unique to him. It was a smile and a type of smile that perhaps he'd never seen before, but he knew it was one that he wanted to see again. He wanted to experience the joy on her face. And so he continued to munch on his cookies and sip on his drink, and she continued to do the same. And in an effort to get her to smile that way again, he offered her another peanut butter chocolate chip cookie. And sure enough, she smiled and she accepted. And this went on all afternoon. It started to get to be evening time, and the sun was going down, and they were running short on cookies and diet ginger ales, and so it was time for them to go. And he packed his suitcase and he began to walk his way back to his house, and an urge came over him only a few steps into the journey, and he turned back to her and he gave her a big hug, and he stepped back and she smiled at him again, and he smiled back at her, and he knew, and that smile was something he'd never experienced quite like that before from someone he'd never met before. And it did something to him. And it stayed with him. And by the time he got home and he walked through the front door, his mother looks at him and she sees something a little different about him. She sees a joy on his face that she'd never seen before. And she asked him, she says, "What'd you do today? What made you so happy that you're looking the way you're looking?" And he said, "I had lunch with God." And the little old lady, she also went her separate way. And when she got home, she lived with her adult son, and she had a look on her face as well. And her adult son asked her the very similar questions that that mom asked that little boy. "What did you do today? Why is it that you've got something different about you? Why is it that you seem to be glowing with joy?" And she said, today I had lunch with God. She said, you know what? He's much younger than I thought he was. See, there's a moral in that story for all of us. Love isn't just a feeling. It's not about being weak-kneed because somebody's attractive and that's the person we feel we need to go after. It's not about just being in friendships and providing ourselves with social support. It's much deeper than that when we're talking about the kind of biblical love that Jesus is preaching in our gospel lesson today. It's agape. It's love for the sake of love's sake. It's a love that comes from God, but it's a love that God doesn't intend for us to simply hold on to. It's a love that God intends for us to receive so that we can share it with other people, just the way the little boy in that story did. And just the way his sharing of that love impacted that lady, which impacted her son, it also impacted him and impacted his mother. So my brothers and sisters, I think the take-home message for us is if we want to see the face of God, we need to be willing to bring the love of God to someone else. Mother Teresa was known to have had a quote where she said, you need to be careful at all times of what you're doing, because to some person that you're coming across today, you may be, as a Christian, the only Christ that they ever get exposed to. And those are profound words, and they're powerful words, and they're hard for us to even comprehend as Christians that we're called to be that sort of loving character. That we're called to be doers of love, to be in the being of love, not necessarily the feeling of love. But it's true. Each and every one of us, when we leave this place of worship this morning, we go out into the world, people may know us to be Christ followers. They may know us to be Christians. And so for them, we represent Christ, a Christ that they may not yet know. And it's a profound obligation that we have that's placed on us. But remember those words, you may be the only Christ that someone ever gets to see in this life. Do it with love. And receive the good news this morning in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let all God's children say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.